Manuals, manuals, manuals. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Long ago, 2015, through a group of volunteers helping me and reaching out all over, we were able to preserve 400,000 manuals out of a closing business called Manuals Plus in Maryland. They were boxed up into 1,600 banker boxes, which turns out to not be the way you want to do this. For anyone who wants to know the actual right way to do it, you should get something called Gaylords. They look like huge cribs made of cardboard, and you fill those bottom to top with manuals and then use some sort of forklift to move them into trucks and ship them away. But we did 1,600 banker boxes. They went to a storage unit down the street, then they went to a coffee shop that was closed in a mall down the street further, and then they were packed up, sent to Richmond, California, to the Internet Archive Physical Archive, where a group of volunteers helped me repackage all of them from the 1,600 banker boxes to multiple pallets of protected boxes as authorized by the Internet Archive guidelines for how to store these paper materials. There they have sat, and they've been sitting for various reasons, the most pressing of which is that there's a lot of manuals coming into the Internet Archive anyway, and there's not much incentive to digitize old manuals when there's so many other things in need of digitization sitting ahead of it. Well, that changed recently. Kay Savitz, who has been working for a project called DLARC, an amateur radio history grant, turned to me and said, "Do any of these manuals that you have in this collection consist of something related to ham radio?" And the answer is, oh, most certainly. So I'm heading out to California, and across a few days, we are repackaging these thousands and thousands of manuals so that they are in two different piles, one of them related to radio, and the other one, everything else. The idea being here that the DLARC grant will digitize all of the manuals related to radio and radio operations, and that will begin the process of actually turning the Manuals Plus archive digital. It's been a long time coming. It's one of those projects that was so inspiring at the time and represented something that needed to be done, but also represents enormous cost, thousands of dollars, just to transport it, to store it, to do all of the supplies. People donated so much money just to ensure we had everything we needed at every step of the way. It was a personally defining moment to be part of that project. The fact that we're standing here on the cusp of yet another phase, potentially one of the final ones, is incredibly exciting. But it also makes me remember how different a lot of people's visions of digitization are related to how they actually are. You see, digitization is a very intense art. It's not quite a science. There's all different kinds of paper quality, of the age of paper. There's debates, philosophical and engineering, about how much modification you do to the raw images you're taking of these originals. And then, of course, there's the debate of even keeping the originals after the digitization has completed. Now, obviously, I'm on team keep it forever in a box. I definitely like to have these materials safely put away after digitizing. But there's also an argument that there's certain kinds of materials that may or may not warrant that. I get it. While I can, while I have influence, I try to make it that nothing gets thrown out under my purview. There's sometimes some ancillary supplies. Let's say that I get a massive pile of floppy disks and in there are sheets of Write Protect tabs. I don't know if those Write Protect tabs are going to survive much longer. When doing audio tapes and videotapes, I like to sometimes get images of the actual cases, the actual paper wrapping that comes with VHS tapes, because there's an art there. And luckily, there's not a huge variation in computer-grade videotapes. So once you get really good digitizations of some of the most common sleeves, that little bit of extra work becomes much easier. But getting back to these manuals, they go back to World War II. They go in every direction, but they do have one major theme: testing and evaluation. Manuals Plus was about equipment that was used to verify, to observe, to quantify, where you were figuring out sound quality, electrical signals, how much interference was in the air next to a piece of equipment to help you work out where the problem, whatever the problem was coming from. That was their mission. They had bought out several other manual collections to build what they had. And so now begins the process of digitizing them. And that's kind of involved even beyond philosophical and logistical questions. Some of these manuals have very odd sizes, very weird binding. Some of them have foldouts. Some of them have wrap-ins. Some of them have other things stuck between the pages. And luckily, in this case, we are using the Internet Archive scanning apparatus to do the work. These folks have scanned millions of items. They've come up with workflows, with quality checking, with all manner of rules and what to do in various situations. While it may never be perfect, it's going to be pretty darn good. They are very committed to making sure that paper materials that come in produce a version of themselves that looks good in the book reader, that gives you the information you're seeking from the original book. There will always be an argument for certain kinds of scans for the aesthetic quality of these papers. But that is a different argument. If you are creating something with the purpose being to make it look as good as what it originally came from, that is a whole other workflow. Take, for example, the art on the side of a video game. You can take a picture of it, and that's pretty good. Maybe you'll find a vector drawing that is derived from either a manual or that photograph. Also pretty good. But there's a whole different sequence to how you would do paint or stickers or other qualities to make it look as good, maybe sometimes even better, than the original that everyone is expecting. And none of that has to do with preserving an original. It has to do with presenting to people the power, the feeling, the look of something that came before. This is all very well-tread paths for folks who work in this environment. It's a series of decisions, many of them with lasting effects. Where possible, try not to destroy the original, because another path may be taken down the line. But for the vast majority of folks, dealing with a manual, with a compilation of the instructions, layout, the circuit diagrams, and theory of operation for a piece of equipment, they just want to know, what does this capacitor do? What does this setting mean? What did they think they were doing when they set the probes to be this or that material versus what others were choosing for the same equipment type? These are fundamentally informational answers. It doesn't matter if it's a black and white photocopy of an original, if that's all you want. But if you're lucky, you're able to hit a beautiful middle ground, an item that looks and harkens back to the aesthetic feel of the original manual, while also having quick turnaround so that the most amount of information can get online. The fundamental push of the Internet Archive is getting you the information you're seeking as fast as possible. There's a bunch of other companies who have taken that mantle, but what makes the Internet Archive different to me is that it hasn't quite been corrupted by false optimizations, attempting to sell you something, or having a back-end sale in between each click. We're not taking the information and then passing it on to someone else for money. We're not taking materials and making them into a gate-kept for-pay lockdown. And nothing says that more than the current manuals collection on the archive. archive.org/details/manuals. Alongside this unbelievably intense physical work I'm doing, the archive also has 3 million digital manuals online. And that's where the Manuals Plus collection will eventually end up. But perhaps to illustrate why we shouldn't just put a line in the sand and not just insist that this is the way it is going to be and it is never going to change, let me say that when I created the manuals collection at the archive back in 2012, I didn't understand why people use manuals. I see that now. For some reason, I was really swept up in the aesthetics of it. I was fascinated that you would walk into a collection of calculator manuals and you would see cover after cover all of these beautiful renderings of calculators or turntables or synthesizers. But that's not really what a person goes to a manual for. They go to a manual because their Flibbergibbet 5000 is showing a weird light and they would really like to find a Flibbergibbet 5000 manual to figure out what the problem is, because their used Flibbergibbet never had one. So, you look for the brand name. You look for the name of the company that made the thing, and then you go into a collection of its manuals and try to find the model, or maybe just a related model, of what you have. This small but vital philosophical change meant that I am now moving millions of manuals, already digitized, already on the archive, into brand new collections sorted by brands. Here comes the Daewoo collection, the Coleman collection, the Chevrolet collection, the Timex collection, companies of all different stripe, from cars and motorcycles to appliances, networking equipment. Some of these have been part of my life for all of my life. The brand names on the sides of machines that were there when different life-changing events happened. A black box network where I had my first ISP experience. Or a manual for a Sony PlayStation with a beautiful set of renders of its contents, bringing me back to holding one in my hands and opening it and seeing the engineering. There are, embedded in these manuals, memories and stories, but they also function as signposts and guides of a time and place, both in the past and now. And it only took me about a decade to figure that out. So, here I am, planning to move a whole bunch of manuals, physical pieces of paper, while on the same day moving thousands, tens of thousands, of digital objects, equally critical to people's lives, for people who are rushing into the archive, desperately trying to track down some piece of information that they couldn't find anywhere else, finding it, breathing a sigh of relief, and realizing that their Flibbergibbet 5000 is going to live another day. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bikoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. One other small note. Part of this job of moving millions of manuals means that as I am sorting things together, a group of volunteers are helping me find all different sorts of brand names. Crane, Maglite, Snapper, and so on. And in creating their collections, I am often looking up the history of these companies so that I get their logo or I can put a description in as to what this company's history is. And I'll tell you something. Maybe it's just my own personal bias and my observations are coming because I am focusing on certain kinds of material. But my goodness, a lot of what we think of as brands, as these companies that make a thing, they are at best, facades for very generic, multinational creations that have long ago been sold away from the families and small independent companies that made them and given them to finance to larger companies such that, really, honestly, when you look at a logo and you have an emotional sense of it, it's probably worthwhile to kind of look over and see what actually owns it, because it is usually not what you think. Now, I'm not saying be cynical. I'm not saying be a person who has given up on something being good. Many of these companies are still making excellent, excellent products that do the job they're designed for. But this vision we have of a company as being this immutable collection of people that are generation after generation, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think that time is gone.